pray in us. Holy Spirit, come and hear us. Come and pray in us. Holy Spirit. Spirit.
Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, and Immanent Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. There's going to be an insert in the bulletin, or maybe several. Be sure to take them home with you. They'll give you all of our current and upcoming events. And also in that insert is going to be the hymn, the chant that we'll be singing during our community song, so you might want to take this moment to just look at that so that you can sing freely during our song time. Also, you can check the website consciousharmony.org for that and much more. We have a great opportunity coming up. Can you say blessed when somebody's still alive? Just kidding. Blessed Father William Menninger. He's one of the three monks that brought centering prayer out into the lay community. So we have a lot to be thankful for. And what I love about centering prayer is that as you tap into people or see people that you haven't seen in a year or something, you can just see how much growth continues to go on. It just keeps unfolding in a beautiful way. So Father William just keeps getting to be more and more of a wisdom teacher is all I can say. He's going to be here with us for a two-night talk on February the 22nd and the 23rd. And it's going to be on the ox herding pictures and on the Bhagavad Gita and how they relate to our Christian understanding. So see your insert for more information and to register. We are blessed to have him here. Our Lenten retreat, our 10-day Lenten retreat in Cedar Break had a waiting list, and now, as it always happens, things have shifted around. So now there are a few openings for somebody who wanted to go and didn't get their name in the registration. So it's probably the best way to prepare for Easter and to take part in Lent is to take 10 days aside from yourself. and rest in God for 10 days in the desert. So there are a couple of openings, and I just want to say someone has obviously heard that prayer is a really good thing, because there was a large outpouring of people yesterday at the one-day prayer retreat. And for those of you who missed that, or for those of you who aren't on the commuter retreat or are going to the Lenten retreat, there are still opportunities for community prayer, 7 o'clock prayer every morning, Wednesday night service and Friday night service both have a prayer, community prayer component, as well as the Eucharist. But it's a good time to make a commitment to extend yourself further than you normally would, so you're really giving more of yourself to the experience of fasting before the feast at Easter. And if you can't do any of those, you might just want to add 20 minutes to your prayer time at home, or a half an hour. And in that way, join in participating in the Lenten experience. And so you can celebrate more freely, wondrously, surprisingly at Easter. Jackie Botto is going to be signing up teachers and volunteers for the YES program after service. So if you're a godly play teacher or volunteer and you know when you're going to be out of town this next quarter, please let her know so she can get the schedules out. And we are in need of baby whisperers. And it says nursery volunteers, but that's once a month where you go in and just communicate with God before he gets all complicated in a personality. And maybe learn a thing or two. And perhaps change a diaper, who knows. Choir rehearsals for Easter begin today at noon in the sanctuary. Singers of all abilities are welcome. That could be you. And if this is your first time here at the church and you'd like to find out more about the church and its teachings, there will be someone on the other side of the bridge to welcome you and to give you something to take home and read and start a dialogue. And now Tim has a message for us.
Before we get started, I'd like to share with you a little Lenten miracle. Would you be interested in that? It seems that the National Football League took into account the fact that I give up all television and all news every year for 40 days running, and they scheduled the Super Bowl before Lent. Because I wouldn't have known till after Easter who won, if all went well. But since the scheduling did work out that way, we went over to watch it with Margaret Browder. Now, those of you who remember Margaret, she and Bill were the founder. We started the church in their house. Bill was one of the people that had the idea, let's start a church. And so we stay in touch with Margaret. She's 87 years old. I go over there every Tuesday, and we study meditations on the Tarot together. And then on Sunday evenings, we just go over and chat or watch a movie or something. And so I told her on Tuesday, Margaret, on Sunday evening, now I haven't watched football in years, but all of a sudden, for some reason, that has something to do with having lived in Denver, my allegiances came alive. And I said, we're not going to be here unless you're willing to watch the Super Bowl. And she said, okay, but I'm not going to get anything out of it. And I said, well, you know, it's fellowship. And so she agreed. So we got over to her house in time for kickoff, a little bit before kickoff. And she said, my TV is broken. But see, after years of centering prayer, nothing happened. It's like, well, okay. And then she said, but she lives in an assisted living center. They're showing it down in the theater. So I got to watch the game from the third row on a screen so big. I have never enjoyed a football game more, but of course that may have had something to do with who won. But I just thought that was a precious Lenten miracle, so I wouldn't have to wonder for 40 days. How did it go? How did they work out? I think a lot of it is due to Damon Fisk and his son, James. They both gave me, they each gave me a Topps trading card with Peyton Manning on it just before the game. So I carried this talisman of their love with me, and I'm sure that was the Broncos. So Lent has come with full force into my life, and I hope it has into yours as well. And what I'm using for a Lenten reader, as the one we're using here, is a Journey to the Center. This is Thomas Keating, at his best, offering us insights into the spiritual journey through the lens of the liturgy and the Christian heritage, and bringing it up to date in a way that makes it so easy to realize where we fit into the scheme of things, so that we just don't say, oh, here's Lent and I gave up this and that, but as participants in a process that ultimates in resurrection, we want to participate, and Lent is a means of participating. Now, the focus is what's special about Lent. Why can't we participate all year round? Well, I'd love it if we did to that level. But see, when we have a special occasion in the liturgy, every year as the liturgy takes us through the seasons of Jesus' life, birth of light, life, and love, we go through these scriptures again and again, and as we go through them, they go deeper and deeper, and we begin to realize more and more how they are guiding us into a balanced and harmonious relationship with all that is, with the ultimate reality. And so at the level of participation in a special time of year allows us to have like a magnifying glass to focus very clearly on the human condition as it exists in me, as it exists in you. I'm the human condition in person. Well, is that just a bunch of theories? Or is that something I can wear and own? And Lent gives me a very special time for personal insights, what Bernadette Roberts called scathing self-honesty, to just take a look at the guy. And to make him visible, we put a few things out of our lives that we normally use as distractions, like television or football. We just put them away for a while. What's behind that need? What's deeper than that habit? Is that covering over anything that I'd like to know about? Well, a few years ago, my lunch buddy for about 25 or 30 years now is Father Oliver Johnson. And he's from Ireland. And Ali and I were having lunch, and I was saying, oh man, I love Lent. Oh, I think Lent is, he says, oh yeah, and one week into it. Here you are in the first week telling me how you love Lent. Let's talk about it afterwards. It's gotten challenging for me already. I've set myself some aims, some wishes to manifest that are habitual programs in my consciousness. So my fasting is not only from the physical football, which I'm glad to share with you, or the physical distraction of the news, but also there's a sense of opening to the discomfort that comes from the existential human beingness. In an increasingly confused world, I've been getting calls from people that have been anxiety-ridden. Got one yesterday. Someone was feeling very anxious about the world. What can we do about it? Well, we can give ourselves to something bigger than the world and deeper than the world. And Lent is our occasion for bringing into clear focus what it is that we're involved in that keeps us from God, that distracts us from God. In the Bible, Jesus is quoted as saying, come to the banquet, come to the banquet. The king is having a banquet. And then the guy said, well, I've got to break my oxen in. I've got to bury my father. There's always some reason why we hang on to our separateness and let go of God's presence. And so in some way we think we could defend ourselves or protect ourselves from famine or danger. God does the protecting. God is living us. He knows what to do. So here's Thomas Keating at his very best and talking about the Lenten journey. And what we're going to get out of this is a selection of his teachings that come from all his books. And these teachings are a way he's fitting his teaching into the Lenten experience. So here he titles this little book, Journey to the Center. How many years have we been using that, Barn? Many. Okay. Well, there's a reason I wanted to ask that, and it's because I'm going to ask you today to tell me about your Lenten experiences. As a Baptist, we didn't have Lent. What? Yeah, Catholics are weird, they have Lent. I never had Lent. So the first time I had Lent, I was amazed. Just amazed. And I know that many of you were like me, grew up in Protestant churches where Lent wasn't even thought about. So I would like to hear your experience, but I'll set it up by reading the introduction that Thomas wrote to his book. Lent is the season in which the church as a whole enters into an extended retreat. Jesus went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. The practice of Lent is a participation in Jesus' solitude, silence, and privation. The 40 days of Lent bring into focus a long biblical tradition beginning with the flood in the book of Genesis, when rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. We read about Elijah walking 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, Mount Horeb. We read about the 40 years that the Israelites wandered through the desert in order to reach the promised land. The biblical desert is primarily a place of purification, a place of passage. The biblical desert is not so much a geographical location, a place of sand, stones, or sagebrush, as a process of interior purification leading to the complete liberation from the false self system with its programs for happiness that cannot possibly work. Jesus deliberately took upon himself the human condition, fragile, broken, alienated from God and other people. A whole program of self-centered concerns has been built up around our instinctual needs and have become energy centers, sources of motivation around which our emotions, thoughts, and behavior patterns circulate like planets around the sun. Whether consciously or unconsciously, these programs for happiness influence our view of the world and our relationship with God, nature, other people, and ourselves. This is the situation that Jesus went into the desert to heal. During Lent, our work is to confront these programs for happiness and to detach ourselves from them. The scripture readings chosen for Lent and the example of Jesus encourage us in this struggle for inner freedom and conversion. He's suggesting that we detach ourselves from them. Let us be really clear. This is not an ascetical overcoming. This is not a heroic quitting this or that. It's detaching ourselves from those aspects of self that sink us, that catch us unawares. If we detach ourselves from them by stimulating them a little bit and making them reveal how we love our distractions and habits, we don't have to accuse ourselves for what we find or see. It's not accusation, it's not a juridical process. It's a process of transformation and evolution. And you can't let go of what you don't know you're holding on to. You can't open where you don't see what closed means. So it's by putting little cracks in the programming by fasting. There are several ways to fast. One is certainly with food. Other ways are interiorly. Other ways are like in like Barb and I and media. There's a lot of ways to fast. In fact, you can fast by doing something extra too. It's like we said last week, a rosary or something every day. Doesn't sound like much, but when you get around to doing it, there's a voice inside that says, I do not want to do this. This is just really dumb. Okay, now, so I'd like to hear from some of you who had not had Lent before what Lent has brought for you. Let's see it. Barbara, wait a minute. You had Lent.
Not really.
Okay.
It's really an interesting thing. That's what I was going to say. When it's imposed on you and you're just kind of sleepwalking and you do it. And I mean, no, I never really had Lent until I started doing centering prayer and started getting a center and realizing what I wanted and what I didn't want. But yeah, I would just say all I want to say is I'm off to a really big start of feeling dis-ease, feeling uneasy, feeling all sorts of things and that I normally don't feel because I'm distracted, and even distractions won't keep me from them. So I am really looking forward to being with that, to observing it, to detaching myself from that and perhaps getting some healing or separation from some of my programs that like to keep me busy so I don't notice them.
Who else? I can't see who it is. Is that Tamara? Yes.
I did not grow up practicing Lent. And so 2 years ago, I finally practiced Lent for the first time and gave up my wine at the end of the day and on the weekends during Lent. And the first thing that happened was I lost 5 pounds first right away, which was a nice little side thing. But also, I found that I would just, that would be, you know, 5 o'clock would roll around. I'd look at the clock. Okay, yep. It's 5 o'clock. I can have a glass of wine now. And, you know, I would kind of detach from everything, and we have teenage kids, and I'm sitting there drinking wine, watching TV, and it was just a horrible thing to do at the end of the day. And so we gave it up for Lent, and I just found that so many more wonderful things came in starting at 5 o'clock that I kind of was just missing, you know. And so we're doing it again this year, and it's funny that you go to parties and you have to learn to do things a little bit differently. You have to learn to, okay, I'm going to just go slowly and just kind of roll with the punches and just enjoy everybody's presence. And it's just a really eye-opening experience for me.
Beautiful.
So it's really nice.
Yeah, thank you. Who else? Christy.
I grew up not practicing Lent either, and when I first came here and Lent was suggested, I thought of it as, oh, this is a way to just give up something so I can be in this practice. And then I heard you say, when you realize you have given up that thing, that's your opportunity to remember God. And so with each year, I've tried to choose something that will be a frequent opportunity to remember God. And it is beautiful because it adds God's presence throughout the day, not just in my centering prayer time.
Wow. Listen to this. Go ahead, Tracy.
Well, one thing I've learned from participating in Lent Ames that's been helpful is it's not about accomplishing or succeeding.
Yes.
I know I've had Ames through the years. One in particular coming to mind where I just completely crashed and burned. I just couldn't do it. I decided to give up criticizing my husband for 40 days. And it was amazing all the tiny little sneaky ways it would, like, not criticize, but really in a teasing way or something. But it was actually, even though it was utterly humiliating,
yes,
to see, it was such a blessing because it opened up compassion and mercy and helplessness and vulnerability and just gratitude for God for loving me even though I am this. And so it's like it doesn't even really matter what happens at one level. I mean, just making a name and making an effort, it's like you can't lose in a sense.
Yes, yes. And doesn't compassion and mercy and kindness feel better inside than criticism? There he goes again. Yeah. I know something about this from the provocateur's point of view. And I've been the provocatee. Go ahead, Joel.
Unlike you, I didn't care who won. I listened to Father Joseph say, enjoy the beautiful pass and the goal line, stand and rest. Unlike you, I'm not called to give up the news. I am laughing my face off at this reality show.
Yes.
My deepest intention is to give up that whining part of the self, the false self ego. Mm-hmm. At $5 fine for each whine, I'm up to a little better than $1,500 in debt. And though I am encouraged by the women in my life, I have already fallen off that wagon.
Yeah. Thank you.
I am grateful for Lent. I heard of Lent first when those Catholic kids came to school with us after the eighth grade.
Yeah.
What is Lent? You give a bubble game and milkshakes. Yeah. I never knew Lent until we learned about you and Father Keating.
Yeah.
I'm everlastingly grateful. Yeah. Bless you.
Thank you. I'll take that blessing. Jim, please.
We never practiced Lent when I grew up, but as you reminded me to think about how it's progressed and what it looks like, I remember that we practiced Easter. So in other words, we always went to church, and there was this little country club that was only open in the summer because it was in Minnesota, and they always opened on Easter with their big buffet. So that's all I remember what the focus was. That was Easter, was church and going to the buffet. And so since we've started it here, I guess I've been practicing it since 95. And what I just remembered, you kind of forget about the aims you make, but what I've seen is the difference between how I started it, which was, as Tracy was referring to, accomplishing something. So I used to do a 40-day cleanse, which, you know, that was succeeding. And, you know, I felt great about myself. I'm sure I was deeply feeding my false personality. Everything was just wonderful. It wasn't a problem. I succeeded every year. And then I heard Father Keating talk about how, you know, drinking somebody under the table,
yeah,
which I used to have no problem doing. He referenced fasting people under the table. Man, it took me a year to get over that disappointment. I said, now what am I going to do for Lent? So, and as I've seen it progress, and you let go of one thing, you start to see the connections of the other things.
That's right.
That all connect to that, that you see it's like a domino. You do one thing and then it's the next, then it's the next, then it's the next. So as I've worked to let go of a group of behaviors or thoughts, I can see that it leaves more room for failure.
Yes.
It leaves more room for grace.
Yes.
And certainly humility.
Yes.
And also, the longer you practice, the more people that do it, the intention that's there. Like Thursday, the day after the first day of Lent, was it was just amazing what came up and how quickly I saw how difficult it was going to be to succeed during this Lent. And so I'm opening my heart to be a little lighter, little page 10, but also really to keep getting back up. The falling down is going to happen, but for me now it's about getting back up, and how do I do that? So, and also, just I'll finish with this. Immediately, I mean, I really look forward to the whole process, but Easter Sunday here is like, it's like nothing else. It's, you know, the Christmas Eve service and that service and participating is just amazing what happens. And Vivian asked me to do something for that weekend, and I said, well, this year I've got to stay with what works for me. I said, it's so important for me to finish my Lent with that service and how it changes and sets the tone for my whole year. And that's the experience that I get from it, by the efforts that I make and the grace that comes from participating in Lent. Yep. So it's just like real clear. I knew what I needed, and that's the way it's going to be, and I'm going to get to Easter, and it's going to be phenomenal, and it's a journey.
Yes. Yes, Terry. And I want to say, because you said it, and you said it, Joel, that accomplishing our aims is not the essential part. I set myself a task that I knew in setting it I would fail at, but I've become hyper-aware at every time I do it, because by making the wish, I see it every time it comes up. It's a mental and emotional state, and I don't want to do that anymore. And I knew I couldn't overcome it just by, well, I'll just overcome it. So if I wish to fast from that, that means I'm going to have to get up. But it's not really falling down. It's being instructed. That's how easy I can lose my center. Wow. Over that little thing, what seems like a little thing has now, by focusing on it, become a major obstacle to continuous presence of realizing the continuous presence of God. I'd much rather have God than have that thought. So I've put it in as I'm going to fast from that. And it wasn't probably 10 minutes, but I saw it more clear than I ever have before. Terry, please.
Being the Catholic that I am, I always hated Lent. And then a couple of years ago, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, I really got what Lent was about, being in this church and being around Father Keating and whatnot. And so every year, it seems like I give up Facebook because I'm an extrovert, and I believe I know who the right political candidate is. And I too believe that Peyton Manning should win the Super Bowl because he's a stand-up guy. And I have all these opinions, and so when I'm on Facebook, I have all these fabulous friends that laud my opinions and think I'm so cute. So giving up Facebook is, I spend a lot of time on it at night after Stuart goes to bed because I'm exhausted. And so I gave it up, and it's relieving, honestly. And I turn into, the unloading is almost unbearable. The crying, the anger, the next day, like, switch went off. And, like, taking away the, you know, the bourbon from the drunk. It's just, it's amazing. And so, I've spent more time just sitting and being with the sorrow, being with the anger, being with the, you know, all the unloading, just this crap that's pushed down about the world and about fill in the blank. And so it's relieving on one hand, and it's very hard on the other hand. And I have to tell a light story. My little guy sees Fred and I doing this, and so he told me the other day he was going to give up jelly. And I said, jelly? He said, yeah, you know, because I always get a peanut, Daddy makes me a peanut butter jelly sandwich for school, and I'm just going to give up the jelly because I really like that combination. And I said, well, honey, you know, I'm thinking flashback Catholic, a.k.a. 9, when I was doing the same damn thing. And I said, you know, we give up something in Lent because we're making room for God. It's not just to give up something you like. And he said, okay. And so like a couple of days later, he told me, hey, Mama, I went to eat my sandwich today and there was no jam on it. So I just said, hey, God. And I remembered God right in the middle of the school day. And I was like, okay. And then he told me not 5 minutes later, he goes, and I just want to say, I'm glad you're giving up Facebook, because of course he gets more time with me. And he said, but I really think you should consider giving up cussing.
yeah. The gift of a community that practices together is wisdom. Not one person sees everything the same way. So when somebody expresses their experience, it often highlights aspects of our experience that we didn't quite see before. And so the wisdom of the community is one of the great gifts of a community of practice. As we all go deeper together, we all go deeper together. We reinforce each other. We teach each other. We're constantly learning from each other, both about each other and God, but about ourselves, as we self-observe in relationship and see ourselves in relationship with people. It's a humbling picture. It's a humbling picture when you turn the interior lights on. But really, you'd want to know, and Lent is the time when we get to know. Linda, we'll do you'll be the last one. I didn't even recognize you with the new haircut.
What I was most surprised about with Lent, I was Church of Christ, so you kind of lived in Lent all the time. But but coming to this church and doing the 40 days of Lent, I too decided to give up alcohol. And what amazed me was not my inner relationship with myself, because I thought, it's no big deal. And it really wasn't as huge as I thought it would be. But then I got called into the office of one of my coworkers, and she very solemnly said, she goes, I'm the one who's been asked to talk to you. And I'm like, what on earth? And she goes, do you have cancer again? And I went, no. Do you have cancer again? And I went, no. She goes, have you changed medicines? We need to know what's wrong. I'm like, I don't have a clue what's wrong. Like, you're not drinking. And so I'd never realized that my relationship, because I was still going out and I was just going, sure. No, because I was trying to do the, you know, do it in private, do it in silence so that you're not showing everybody. But it's the uncomfortableness and my relationship with other people, yeah, that I felt on my side by going, no, I can't drink, you know, or no, I'm not going to have one today. But then to realize that I had caused so much discomfort with other people, but the light that it shined on me was how much my relationship with the other people was about going out and having a drink.
Wow, yeah.
And so I had to examine that, and I never thought about that effect.
Beautiful, beautiful, powerful witness. When I gave up drinking, I didn't give up my friends. We used to go out and have our fun, and I'd get a Virgin Mary, and we'd all sit there and have fun. And my friends became very uncomfortable with me. And our intimacy faded because we didn't have that in common anymore, and I wasn't about to take it up again. And every one of us knew in our hearts, this is not that good, because we all drink a lot. When one of us quit, the rest of us didn't like it at all. So gradually they got bored with me, and a new company came into my world that didn't do that. That wasn't the thing we had in common. People that were about God began to come into my life. And I love my old friends, and I love the times we had together, and they were a good part of building a consciousness that it serves me today. But I looked like oatmeal to them, you know, just bland. Because I didn't laugh too loud anymore, and I didn't tell jokes anymore that weren't funny. And Well, when you're sober around people that are doing that, it's like the laughter is really loud and raucous, isn't it? But yeah, Lent, an invitation to not do something for God. He doesn't need you to do anything, but to give yourself a break in the habitual routines that tend to obscure the right now presence of the living one, the right now presence of a love that goes beyond comprehension, of a kind of peace. We're on a journey to the center. Now, the implication is that we're not yet in our centers. When we're in the desert, we're not in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the center. Our heart is the new Jerusalem, wants to be the new Jerusalem. We know we're not having fun. I was so, like you, Terry, given up Facebook and relieved. I was so relieved to turn the news off. KUT, I'm sorry, KUT. I was a news junkie, and it was the atmosphere in which my soul immersed itself while driving in the car. Bad enough, it was traffic. But traffic with all the political... Last year, after Lent, I didn't want to put it down. Oh my goodness, I don't ever want to listen to the news again. I entered into an atmosphere of peace and spaciousness. And then it was like, well, I'll just listen a little bit. You know the rest. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
That God. ever near, 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 ever near. Closer than the earth, closer than the sky, closer than my fingers, closer than my eyes. My God is ever near, ever near, ever near. Ever near, ever near, ever near, ever near. Closer than the rain, closer than the wind, closer than the one I love, closer than my skin. My God is ever near, 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 ever near. There is no separation, there is no division, there is nothing between us, there is only God. Closer than thoughts, closer than feelings, closer than breath, closer than my heartbeat. My God is ever near, ever. Ever near, 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 ever near.
And now it's time to join in centering prayer and community. And to prepare ourselves, we first become aware that the chairs on which we're sitting are holding us, they're supporting us. So we accept that support and relax deeply. We let go and open. Relaxed, open, and alert, we allow our attention to fall gently into the area of the heart, the seat of life itself, the seat of divine love, always present with us. And resting in the heart, we listen with the ear of the heart to our beloved contemplative poet, Macrina Whitaker. The God I was trying to love was too demanding, so I looked for other gods that would ask less of me. And in the unconverted corners of my heart, I found them waiting to be adored, asking nothing of me, yet making me a slave. Possessions, power, recognition. I bowed before them, but my hunger only deepened. The God I was trying to escape was too loving. So he sent me a brother, Jesus, to be my Lord and to free me from my false gods. But this Lord Jesus preached a hard gospel, so I turned to other lords. And Jesus was not my Lord, except on Sundays for a little while, because it was a custom for those who wished to bear the name Christian to gather for worship on that day. But Jesus was not my Lord, and my idol-filled life was a banner that proclaimed, Jesus is not Lord. The God I was trying to love was too loving and too demanding. So he gathered up my false gods, my reputation, my pride, my honor and prestige, my possessions, my success, my own glory, my time, even my friends. He gathered up all those lords of mine. He gathered up all my lies and held them close to me, so close that I lost sight of my true God for a while. But my true God has never lost sight of me, and in that lies my salvation. For in one desperate moment, smothered by gods who couldn't save me, I prayed for a God who would fill my lies with truth. I prayed for a God who would expect something from me, a God who would be too loving and too demanding to be patient with my false gods any longer. God heard that prayer and loved me. I was given back to myself and taught how to answer my own prayer, so that with other believers I might proclaim again, Jesus Christ is Lord. We open ourselves right now to that presence of that love, that loves us too much. In peace and with confidence, let us pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We've come to the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that feeds us. And we do it in the spirit of infinite, endless love, supply for every particle of creation. Taking tithes and offerings in our hands, we bless them with our knowledge of reality. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Know how blessed we are when we simply remember God. Amen. Awake now to the intimate presence. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ, we pray this. Amen. So here's what Father Keating has chosen to represent today, the first Sunday in Lent, in the book Journey to the Center, a Lenten passage. And quoting Luke, 4th chapter, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Jesus appears in the desert as the representative of the human race. He bears within himself the experience of the human predicament in its raw intensity. Hence, he is vulnerable to the temptations of Satan. Satan in the New Testament means the enemy or the adversary, a mysterious and malicious spirit that seems to be more than a mere personification of our unconscious evil tendencies. The temptations of Satan are allowed by God to help us confront our own evil tendencies. If relatives and friends fail to bring out the worst in us, Satan is always around to finish the job. Self-knowledge is experiential. It tastes the full depths of human weakness. In the desert, Jesus is tempted by the primitive instincts of human nature. Satan first addresses Jesus' security and survival needs, which constitutes the first energy level. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus must have been desperately hungry. His reply to Satan's suggestion is that it's not up to him to protect or to save himself. It's up to the Father to provide for him. Not on bread alone does one live, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. God has promised to provide for everyone who trusts in him. Jesus refuses to take his own salvation in hand and waits for God to rescue him. The devil then took Jesus to the holy city, set him on the parapet of the temple, and suggested, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Scripture has it, he will bid his angels take care of you. With their hands they will support you, that you may not stumble upon a stone." In other words, if you're the Son of God, manifest your power as a wonder worker. Jump off this skyscraper. When you stand up and walk, everybody will regard you as a big shot and bow down before you. This is the temptation to love fame and public esteem. Affection, esteem, constitute the center of gravity of the second energy center. Everybody needs a measure of acceptance and affirmation. In the path from infancy to adulthood, if these needs are denied, one seeks compensation for the real or imagined deprivations of early childhood. The greater the deprivation, the greater the neurotic drive for compensation. In the text, Satan subtly quotes Psalm 90, the great theme song of Lent, a psalm of boundless confidence in God under all circumstances. He suggests that if Jesus leaps off the temple parapet, God will have to protect him. And Jesus responds, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." In other words, no matter how many proofs of God's special love we may have, we may not take our salvation into our own hands. Jesus rejects the happiness program that seeks the glorification of the self as a wonder worker or spiritual luminary. The third energy center is the desire to control events and to have power over others. Satan took Jesus to a lofty mountain and displayed before him all the kingdoms of the world, promising, "All these I will bestow on you if you prostrate yourself in homage before me." The temptation to worship Satan in exchange for the symbols of unlimited power is a last-ditch effort of the false self to achieve its own invulnerability and immortality. Jesus replied, "Away with you, Satan. Scripture says, you shall do homage to the Lord your God. Him alone shall you adore." Adoration of God is the antidote to pride and lust for power. Service of others, not domination, is the path to true happiness. Thus, out of love for us, Jesus experienced the temptations of the first three energy centers. Each Lent, he invites us to join him in the desert to share his trials. And in the Eucharist, we're offered the food that we need to ground ourselves in reality, to go through the desert of Lent and then journey to the center of the New Jerusalem in our hearts.
Join me in prayer as we prepare to receive the Eucharist. Abba, we thank you that we know that you hear us now, and we know that you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who give us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your spirit on these elements, that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies, his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper, on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it. He offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink. This is a cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in singing our communion song, Abba.
Of Jesus, your Son.
Jesus, your son. Of Jesus, your son. We are the clay. the work of your hands. Hold us, hold us and fashion us into the Jesus, your Son, of Jesus, your Son. Father, may we be one in you. May we be one in you, as He is in you. You are in Him. Abba, Abba Father, You are the potter, we are the clay, the work of Your hand. Mold us, mold us and fashion us into the image of Jesus, your Son, of Jesus, your Son.
Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize that you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and in your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Father, for the glory of His kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. And as we go forward into this Lenten week, this desert, let us remember that the love, the peace, the joy of the living Christ is with us now and always. Amen. Let us stand for Amazing Grace.
That saved our soul like me.
Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you for this gifted opening called Lent. Amen.